This podcast is brought to you by Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. Hello.
Hello there.
Welcome to Rock My Wedding, the podcast. How are you?
I'm good.
I ask you this every episode, don't I?
Me too.
Like I haven't just seen you 5 minutes ago. Like I don't already know that you're fine. I would like to start this episode by talking about a bonus podcast episode that we have floating around. And you can access that if you sign up to our newsletter. It's all about budgeting. So it's an extra bonus budgeting episode.
Yes.
And if you go to Rock My Wedding, you may even get a pop-up that helps you to sign up to the newsletter. But if you don't, if you've already sent the pop-up away, scroll to the bottom of the screen and you can sign up there. And you will get weekly emails from us, which are informative and useful. And also the bonus episode.
And also there's some innuendo.
There's a little bit of innuendo.
But that's only to make you laugh because, you know.
We like to do that.
Yeah.
Well, we try. Try our best. Give it a good go, don't we? Today, we're going to have a guest on the podcast, aren't we?
We are.
It's been a little while since we had a guest. And our guest today comes in the form of Simon, who's sitting right across from me. And he's going to answer some questions about being a fabulous videographer.
And Simon is also a producer of our podcast.
He is.
And, he's editor extraordinaire and one half of We Are The Clarks.
He is. And every time we record a podcast, he just sits there ever so very quietly. Do you want to say hello?
Don't lie. She's lying. He gives us all sorts of hand gestures all the time.
Becky, stop twiddling with that.
Stop saying,
stop saying,
or just frowns at us as if to say, like, what was that? Which makes him a very good editor and producer, doesn't it? Otherwise, this would just be gabble, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah.
Or more of it would be just...
More.
You know, yeah.
Well, technically, I've been a guest on every podcast.
That's true.
Yeah.
A silent one. Now I've got a voice.
Yes, you have. We're going to go through a few things and then we're going to do a Q&A with Simon towards the end. Yes?
Excellent.
So let's crack on. This episode is all about videography. Videography is a bit of a sore point for me because it's my single biggest regret. Possibly in life, that I don't have a video from my wedding. Why don't I have one? So at the time of planning and budgeting, I did look into it quite extensively, but we just could not stretch for a videographer. So we didn't have one. And after we got married and we had our photos, which were amazing, and I love them so much, but I was really upset that I couldn't see it in that way.
And also I think when you're in it and you're thinking about your budget, sometimes things that you think are important for the day become less important when the day is over.
Yes.
And we always say, don't we, what are you left with after your wedding day?
Mm-hmm.
The photographs.
Exactly.
And the film, if you have one or the other or both or whatever. You know, probably haven't got your flowers.
Yes.
Or your decor.
Yeah. You're so, so right. We are so intent on focusing on what we have on the day. Yeah, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head with that.
So for you, for example, it might have been a case of, okay, you know now. I mean, hindsight's great, isn't it? It is what it is. But if you look back, you probably think to yourself, well, I probably could have cut back on X, Y, Z. And actually we did this and that wasn't that important at the time. Or we did so and so and we could have perhaps reconfigured your budget.
Yes.
To allow for videography.
Yeah. And in hindsight, I think whether or not you think it's something that you'll watch every month or not, it doesn't really matter how frequently you think you will or you won't watch it. It's having the choice to sit down and watch it.
Yeah.
And the chance to look back and see or hear loved ones who might no longer be here. It's so many more memories than just your wedding day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
And I think, you know, whether you look at it on every anniversary or you look back at it on your 30th wedding anniversary, you're going to enjoy every single time that you watch it. And it's like my nan, I know my nan would love to be able to look back on her wedding day. She obviously didn't have the chance to be able to do that, but we're so lucky now that we get the chance to be able to do it. And if you can take advantage of that privilege, then we definitely should wherever we can. I also think whilst good photography will tell the tale of your day, which mine really does, like I can totally see the story of the day, videography just captures it in a different dimension.
Well, it captures the movement and the music and what people are saying to each other and those little bits that you were never going to see.
Yeah.
Ever, like you missed basically. And I know photography, like we said, does that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But not in the same way that moving film will. Yeah,
absolutely. It's just that extra dimension, isn't it? And I just think it's so important. And I'm really sad about the fact that I don't want have one.
And I don't want to say too much. I don't want to rub Becky's nose in it. But we had a film. And almost like for me, it was a no-brainer. But then everyone has different priorities, don't they? So
yeah.
I think the way that we budgeted for it was that we had sort of like, photos, video, music. Yeah. And then everything else came after.
Kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah. So it was like, well, actually, we've done all that. So now what we have left is what we spend on the flowers and the decor and, you know, the rest of it.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? For me, it feels like, you know, when it comes to photography and people are like, oh, I don't want couple shots because, oh, I don't really want to be like have photos.
I don't like posing.
I don't want to pose. Blah, blah, blah. But then when they've had their couple shots, actually they look back and they're like, I'm so glad I had those. Mm-hmm. I think people have the same sort of thing towards videography. They think, oh, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not that bothered about seeing myself. But actually when you've got it, it's one of the best things that you could do. And it's getting yourself into that mindset of thinking, like you've just said, right, we need that and making it a priority rather than can we fit it in at the end sort of thing.
Yeah.
And another nice thing about wedding videos is for people who can't be at your wedding, maybe you've got grandparents are too old, or you know, like if I got married now, my nan wouldn't be able to come to my wedding, but to be able to show her a video of my day would be incredible. So and other people aren't a reason for you to budget for a wedding video, but it's just another reason why they're a great thing to have to share with people who can't make it for whatever reason it might be. Okay, so now we've just convinced everybody that they need a video, haven't we?
You need a film. We say your day, your way. But in this case, it's your day, mine and Becky's way. Have a film.
And how do you choose who to have?
It's a million-dollar question.
Isn't it just research, research, research? Or book Simon, because he's pointing at himself.
just book us.
But you know, you can't do everyone's wedding as much as you would love to.
When he's fully booked, what you need to do is your own research. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're going to recommend that you go and visit the list and check out all the incredible videographers that we have on our supply directory.
Indeed.
Really simple, rockmywedding.co.uk/the list. In the I'm looking for box, you just select the videographer and then you choose your location. And also you can check the national box as well.
Yeah, so those that are willing to travel anywhere and everywhere, basically.
Yeah, so make sure you tick that box just so you get in results for everybody. And you'll visit their profile and on their profile, they'll have a gallery of films. So you can look at some of their work and just get into touch.
You have a look at their style.
Yeah.
And how they edit.
If you like it.
Yeah.
So that's one way of doing it. Recommendations is another great way of finding a good videographer, whether that's from friends or family or even your photographer. Mm-hmm. A lot of photographers and videographers obviously work together. And if you've already booked your photographer, it's a great idea to ask them if they can recommend anybody.
So they might have worked with somebody before at a wedding. So one, they know they can work well with them and they, you know, complement each other's style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really important as well, isn't it? And things you might want to look for in a videographer's style is sort of the composition of their films. What's that like? Is there a lot of in and out focusing? Do they use drones? Do you like that they've got a drone and they can get your venue like from the sky? It's lots of little things you can
consider. What music do they use?
What sort of music do they use? Yeah. Do you like that sort of music?
And what are you looking for? Because obviously in terms of like videography, some might offer you like a highlights video.
Yes.
Some might offer you like a longer video. Actually, how much they give you.
Yeah. And what that leads me on to, when you're actually choosing somebody, make sure you see a full wedding video, not just a highlights reel. It's like when you're choosing your photographer. It's very similar way of choosing. You want to see a full wedding shot, not just 10 confetti shots. You need to see how the whole thing looks. So you get an idea exactly of the sort of thing they're going to shoot throughout the day, different things.
And do you want like all of the speeches recorded? Do you want all of the ceremony recorded? And if you do, you might not want that to be part of like the edited film, if that makes sense. The one that you're going to perhaps share with friends and family, but you want to have it so that you and your partner can essentially look back on that.
Exactly.
So how is that all, like what do they offer as a package?
You say, do they capture the full ceremony or do they just pull out certain, you know, sentences that you might have said and mix that in with the music? And is that what you want, or you want the full thing? So that's what's really important, to see the full video, isn't it?
Yes. First thing you need to check once you've whittled down your little list of videographers that you'd like to look of is, are they available? Because that's a problem if they're not. So once you know they're available, look at their pricing. Some have it on their websites, some don't. So it might be just a case of sending an inquiry form. What's your starting point? Like, what's your package? How much is it? Et cetera, et cetera.
And then book a consultation if that all works.
All those
together.
Boxes are ticked.
So you're now at your consultation. Okay, because all the stars have aligned and this videographer is available on the dates, et cetera, et cetera. Here is what we think you should ask at that point. First of all, you need to find out what's included. So what hours will they be at the wedding for? Mm-hmm. You know, is that from getting ready to the first dance, or do they just do a short snippet, or when are they there? What's
the
plan?
There for the really raucous bit at the end?
One would hope so. If you want them to be there longer, how much is that? So if you want them outside of their standard hours, will they stay and it's a cost per hour? Find out that if you want them for, like we just said, to do the party bit. Do they charge for travel expenses? How long will the film be and what format is it supplied in? Is it digital? Is it a USB? How does it come?
What's the format?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Do you get a highlight film as well as the full version? Another great one to ask is, are they fully insured? And how about if you can choose the music to go with your video, or if they give you a list that you get to choose from?
I was very particular about that.
Oh, were you? What did you have?
One of the songs was The Scientist. Coldplay.
Oh, okay.
We had Kings of Leon, and we had what was our first dance song, actually, as some of the music for the video, which was Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls, which is the name of our youngest daughter.
Oh, it is. Full circles and all mm-hmm. that. So you then want to perhaps find out about how you can prepare yourself for the day and how it's sort of going to work. So is there a way that you can prep your videographer for any moments you really want them to capture? Anything specific you want them to capture? How can you let them know about that or who people are and that sort of thing? One question you might want to ask is, are they able to film both you and your partner getting ready?
Yes, same applies with photography, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Becky and I were talking about this earlier because I didn't have a second tutor on my photography or the film.
Yes.
So I've actually will never see James getting ready. And that's such a shame.
And I guess same rules would apply with that. If you're getting ready in the same or very close venue, then they probably can flip between the two of you and capture a little bit of film of both of you. But if you're getting ready in totally different locations,
you're gonna have to
second videographer shooting, then it's probably
so that's
unlikely.
Something to consider and ask the question if your videographer that you've got in mind actually works with anyone else.
Yeah, definitely.
Or can recommend someone or whatever. And what the charge is.
Yes. Indeed. What food would they like on the wedding day? Because they will need to eat. And I don't know whether you've got food choices or whatnot. Just speak to them about food and how they normally do it. Where do they want it?
Yeah.
You know, where you're going to put them to eat their food or, you know, all that sort of stuff. But just remember to provide your suppliers with some sustenance. And then you're going to want to know what happens after the wedding as well. So how long after the wedding will it be until you get to see your film? Where does that happen? Do you go to the videographer's studio, or do they just send it to you on email? Or
do they send you a highlight reel first?
Yeah, how does that work? What to expect once the wedding is over?
What are the timescales?
And what are the timescales? And that's our list of questions that you need to ask. And now I'm going to go through a list of questions that you guys want to ask Simon. You can talk now, Simon.
Hello.
He's been so patient.
So patient.
Haven't even made him a tea.
18 months I've been waiting.
Well, we put a question out on our Instagram, didn't we, to say, ask Simon anything. And you did. So thank you very much. So we've chosen a few and we're just going to put them to you now. Is that
all
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. My first question to you, Simon, is can you tell us a bit about yourself? It's like blind date, isn't it?
Yeah. And contestant number one,
Simon Clark.
My name's
Simon from Birmingham. Yeah, I'm Simon. I'm one half of We're the Clarks.
Yes. With your lovely wife, Anna.
Lovely wife, Anna.
Who's also been on the podcast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We run a photography and videography business and have done for coming up to 10 years now. This is our 10th year, which is crazy. Yeah. But yeah, we offer either photography or videography, or we offer joint packages where we cover both. So we offer photography and videography for couples that want both as well with the same people. So yeah.
And if somebody books a package with you, like what's your basic package? What could someone expect to receive when they book videography with you?
Well, we offer a videography service. So we offer, we shoot for approximately 10 hours, which is normal coverage for a day.
It sounds so long when you say it like that, doesn't it? It really is a long
day. But you think
day.
About it, like an average day will be, you know, for bridal prep, say we always work from the ceremony back and forth as well. So the ceremony time, and we always tend to say ceremonies at say 12 o'clock. We always say start around about 2 hours before, which gets you to a point where bridal prep's kind of at its final stages. So you're looking at like finishing touches of hair and makeup and then getting into dresses and bridesmaids getting into dresses and all that kind of stuff. So we start at 10. That only takes you up to 8.
For the 10 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 till 8.
10 that's till 8. 10 till 8. So you imagine that's only 8 o'clock in the evening. So you probably, I mean, most first dances in a typical wedding are around about 7 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that takes you from, you know, the last touches of getting ready to first dance, which when you break it down like that in a typical kind of wedding day, it's not actually that long. Yeah. So sometimes we people have a little less getting ready and then we go a bit longer into the evening if the party and the atmosphere in the evening is more important to somebody, or we do it the other way around. If we've had weddings where people haven't had a typical evening reception where they've just played some games or had an afternoon tea, and then, you know, we've adjusted the times according to that. But to go back to your question, a typical package is shoot for 10 hours, you get one videographer as standard. You can have an additional one as well. So normally it's Anna, but if Anna's not available, then it's somebody else who I work with. And then you can have two. We shoot all day. And then what you get delivered at the end of that is a wedding feature film, I call it, which is around about 20 minutes, which is essentially an extended highlights of the day. So what you see on our website, which is kind of the previews, the 3 to 5 minute kind of highlights. It's like an extended version of that, but it includes the vows of the ceremony and the kind of nice little extracts like you were mentioning earlier, pulling out the vows and maybe the exchange of rings and the first kiss, and then little snippets of the speeches as well, so the little highlights from kind of most speakers.
And that's about 20 minutes.
And that tells the story. Well, I edit in a narrative order, so it tells the story from the morning to the evening. Whereas some people edit kind of in a non-linear kind of way.
Yours follows the actual
Of
the
day. And you also get a highlights reel as well, which is the shorter kind of more Instagram worthy Facebook sharing preview, you know, three to 5 minutes. You get that as well. And then you also get separately the full ceremony and the full speeches.
Oh, that's good. But that's a lot of hours to have to bring down into like 20 minutes.
It really is. I mean, when I edit,
how much do you capture? Like, how much, you know, if
I was to put all of the footage into one timeline, it ends up working out. It's normally between about 3 to 5 hours worth of footage.
Whoa.
I mean,
but it depends on how long the ceremony is.
If you're very narcissistic, you can sit there. Hi, Simon. I'd like to watch myself for 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, but it all depends on, you know, that varies, depends on how long the ceremony is. If it's a short civil, then it could be 25 minutes. If it's a long Catholic ceremony, it could be an hour and a half.
Yeah, true. You know,
and we're capturing all of that. So, and then the speeches can be 10 minutes or they can be an hour and a half, two hours, you know, sometimes.
And you know what? People question, like, why the service is expensive. I put that in air quotes. But if you've got a whittle, say 5 hours worth of stuff down to about 20 minutes, that must take you forever.
Yeah. Well, and I literally go through every single second of footage to make sure I get all of the best bits, you know.
Yeah. Gosh.
Through that. So, you put that in the timeline and whittle it down, and then you just keep editing until you get to this
perfect movie of your wedding.
Yeah. So we had a couple of questions about making your job easier. Like, what can people do to let you know what they want filming, and generally just how to make, you know, your job as easy as possible?
Yeah. Well, I think the main considerations that immediately spring to mind are timings. Okay. Timings of your day are essential because, you know, sometimes there's only one person there and they only have set certain amount of time to capture certain stuff. So, for instance, like your drinks reception, which is always a key one for photographers or videographers.
Yeah.
That window of time is either when you arrive at a venue, if you've been to a church or a separate venue for your ceremony, or you've just come out of your ceremony if it's all at the same venue. And that window of time, there's a lot of stuff to be done in that window of time. So you're looking at capturing everybody's kind of congratulations because your ceremony has just happened. So all of that initial kind of people speaking to each other for the first time and all that kind of excitement and buzz, you know, you get all your group shots are all done in that kind of window of time. Sometimes you have a small couple shoot dependent on the time of year because you might be losing the light if it's in the winter at 4 o'clock. Get in the room, you know, all the rooms going to be set up ready for dinner because you're going to be going into...
And you're capturing all of these things on film as they're being photographed as
well. Yeah, so sometimes
you want to film the room before they've put the potatoes out.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Before they put the butter on the table as well.
Yeah.
You want to get
it all... ruins you
little... But some people, brides and grooms, have spent months and months and months kind of making sure this room looks amazing and it's really personal to them. And part of that is capturing the memory of that and seeing the room as it was intended. But that takes time. So sometimes that can take 10, 15 minutes to go into that room, make sure you've got a wide shot, make sure there's no catering teams in there buzzing around as well. So you need to clear the room, make sure you get it, make sure you get these handwritten cards that people spent hours doing.
So it's really important that you know the timings of all those things, when that room's going to be ready, or all of those.
You don't want any clattering cutlery.
No, we don't.
I always say to people...
We want the ambience.
I always say to people, leave more time for a drinks reception. People underestimate how, if you give people a drink and a canapé, that they're quite happy to... Yeah. You know, for a good couple of hours to chat and mingle and all that kind of stuff, especially if they're outside and having fun. A lot of these families and friends haven't seen each other for sometimes years. Yeah. So, they're quite happy to chat for a couple of hours.
So one of the best things couples can do is just let you know their timings.
And then working out, giving enough time to then go on a couple shoot with a photographer and give a set amount of time, because often people say, okay, well, we've got an hour's drinks reception, so you've got to cover the group shots, cover people hanging out and actually having a good time at your wedding and capturing all of that atmosphere, then going and doing the room, and then maybe squeezing in a couple shoot as well. So before you know it, and if you've got 10 to 12 group shots, that can take 45 minutes.
And how does that work? Because that's one of the questions that we've had. How does that work with videography and photography at the same time? Because you sort of want the same moments captured on film and on camera.
As a videographer, I will capture some of the group shots because it's kind of, that was what was happening at that time.
Yeah.
But it's not quite as essential.
Actually, we had a few listeners wanting to know, how do, would you and a photographer go about making sure that you don't get in each other's ways and deciding like who captures what, which I guess you've just sort of answered there.
I suppose the dream team is, because you obviously work with, you personally work with your wife, so you know exactly how it should work. But if there's a lot of videographers out there who don't.
And often I work with loads of other photographers all across the country all of the time.
Do you have a chat beforehand? It's just like an unsaid thing or what?
Well, I think any professional photographer will have worked with videographers before who worked in the wedding. You know, I'd be very shocked if they'd never worked with a videographer before. We're both there to do the same job. So we're both there working for our couples to get the best film and photos that we can get for them. So 99% of the time, it's absolutely no issue at all.
I think what listeners were concerned about is like, do they need to do anything to sort of, you know, like make sure you get on fine? But really, they just need to enjoy their day, don't they?
Absolutely.
And let the professionals do what
they do. Yeah, I think the supplies, it's making, you know, we need to interact and make sure that we can do our job.
It's up to you guys.
Absolutely.
It's off the couple's shoulders.
Really. They shouldn't worry about that. They should worry about having a good time.
Talking about, you know, finding your suppliers and your photographers and videographers, wherever you find them, listeners want to know, how do you know if someone who's new to the industry is going to do a good job or not? Because obviously everyone's been there. You were there 10 years ago, just starting out. How can they know if somebody newish is going to do a good job?
That's a really tricky question.
It's hard, isn't it?
Looking at their portfolio is obviously the first thing that you'll see. So somebody could have an amazing portfolio, but then I think the next thing is to is if you really like their work, to speak to them. Don't just go and book somebody if you haven't spoken to them. Even if it's just on email, you get a really good vibe and you're like, or you know, you might have a recommendation. You might have seen them at another wedding, in which case then I'd say if you want to just go and book them, go and book them. Mm. But if you've never met them before, you've never spoken to them, or you've never seen them at another wedding, absolutely, at least have a Skype with them, or just to get a vibe. And I think most people are really good judges of character. What people underestimate is they're going to be there all day. They're there from the morning till the evening. Mm-hmm. And if they're either not professional or they're not the right kind of people, then
it's just like getting your kind of person, isn't it? Because whether it's a photographer or a videographer, whoever the supplier is, like those that are going to be around your guests, like your friends and family, like you might, so for example, you might see examples of some what appear to be really great films, but you don't know in the background.
And I think people
how they capture
old
that.
Old Dave has been, you know, bossing around your nan. Oi, nan. No one wants that.
I think it's underestimated how important it is working with people.
Yeah.
To get the best out of everyone and be in that environment constantly and be positive and be a kind of positive force.
And I think everybody wants to give somebody a go. If you're trying to break into an industry, you know, you want to give people, the only way you can get better is by having the weddings. And I think people are perhaps seeing people who've perhaps only got a couple of films and thinking, God, how do I know if they're going to be all right or not? But what you're saying is right. If what they've got is limited but good, see them and that will seal the deal.
And just check, you want to check that, like, you know, are you unobtrusive but friendly?
Yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
That's why recommendations are always good, because either a friend has had them and they've said, oh, they were really nice and they were lovely and really helpful.
We're really happy with the end product, but also on the day.
It was great.
They made it really nice to be around.
Yeah, we've had some lovely compliments saying, like, when Anna and I have both been there, either just shooting film or photos or whatever it happens to be, just saying, like, it felt like a couple of guests or a couple of friends were just there doing it, that we've kind of blended in enough to not feel like there's two people with cameras in your face all the time, which is the highest compliment we could get. Yeah. So that's really nice.
More questions from our readers. Can the highlight video be portrait rather than landscape so that we can share on IGTV for friends and family?
It's an interesting kind of question from film and video generally, because everything, every film you watch, every TV program you watch, everything is in landscape. Orientation, aspect ratio, everything's in landscape. Your TV's in landscape. The only thing that has changed this kind of portrait demographic is the phone, that's created this kind of portrait culture, you will. So I've never shot anything in portrait specifically.
Well, everything's very long and tall, so you can't get as much in.
Yeah.
I mean, the very basics of it.
If you were shooting specifically in portrait, obviously you'd compose for portrait, but often even people that are delivering stuff in portrait for stuff like Instagram and IGTV are often using landscape video and just giving you a portion of a slice of that in portrait orientation. So no, I wouldn't necessarily shoot in portrait because you'd have to literally shoot everything twice. You'd shoot your landscape for your film, for your TV, and then you'd have to go and then shoot that shot again.
And that's going to take away from sort of the integrity of what you're doing as well, because you're going to miss stuff because you can't get both at the same time and then changing from one to the other.
And when it comes to the question of sharing it on IGTV, even the format you put a landscape video in, and it does shift the orientation. It will show you a landscape video in landscape on your phone, even if your phone's looking in portrait.
You just
have big black lines at the top and bottom. But then if you turn it landscape, if you turn your phone landscape to watch
full screen,
like you do on YouTube, it just tilts it and you get a full screen, full landscape widescreen video.
So just do that.
Yeah, so just do that. Share your highlights and tell people to twist their phones.
Indeed.
Another question. People are very keen to know what contingencies you have in place in case something goes wrong. I don't know, a memory card doesn't work or you're ill or, you know, if you've got insurances and things like that.
Well, yeah, like all professional videographers and photographers would also all have like public liability insurance and public indemnity and all that kind of stuff, which quite often venues ask for as well to make sure they've got public liability because they're coming on site and sometimes using power and charging batteries and you know, all that kind of pat testing, all that stuff. So all of that will be available upon request from any professional videographer or photographer, I would assume.
Yeah. So you can say, have you got that insurance? And you can say,
absolutely.
Yeah, I can show you it.
And I'll have a certificate. I can just show them that year's certificate or send it off to any venues, because quite a lot of venues do ask for it, which is fair enough. But when it comes to equipment and stuff like that, so if a memory card failed, we put everything in place to make sure that that doesn't happen. We renew our memory cards every 2 years. We've got brand new cameras that are serviced, and I mean, it does shoot on one memory card, and I've never in 10 years had a memory card fail on me because I replace them every 2 years and I make sure my gear's serviced. And but what we also do at dinner time, when everybody goes and sit down and has their wedding breakfast, I mean, no one wants to be filmed eating, so we go and take our leave for like half an hour and go and hopefully have something to eat.
Yeah,
we've got the laptop out, I'm backing up all my footage from the morning, so that's already going onto a second hard drive.
Clever.
Yeah, because it's too risky. It's risky, isn't it? And it's someone's wedding.
That's
it's someone's ceremony,
to know, isn't it?
You know, by the time we get into speeches, say if speeches are after dinner, I've already got two versions of their entire wedding already backed up.
That's amazing.
And an offsite. And I also keep an offsite backup of absolutely everything I ever shoot out of my house as well, because I work from home. But I keep everything offsite. So, for instance, in worst case scenario, if we had a fire and everything was lost, my computers and all hard drives were lost, I've still got everybody's footage for that year offsite until everything's completed and delivered.
Oh, so there you go, folks. If you've got if you've got a pro. Okay, so say for example, you can't possibly fit a videographer into your budget, but you want something filmy. You want someone to film something, anything of the day, so you have something. What are your top tips for your mate doing it for
a
you?
A DIY just so you video.
Yeah, total DIY video.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things you can do. You could always ask someone you're inquiring with or inquire with videographers if they will just come and film your ceremony and speeches. Because it's actually something we offer through our photography package. If somebody's booking us for photography, for instance, and they don't necessarily want to film or can't afford a full wedding film, which we completely understand, that we can come along and just film your ceremony and speeches because we're going to be there anyway. We're doing all the photography. We'll set up a tripod, set up a camera, and we look after it. So there's you're not putting that burden on any guests.
Yeah.
And we'll just film the ceremony speeches for a fraction of the cost.
So first thing is to check with a videographer if they offer alternate packages where you can just capture those really important bits.
Yeah, and I think
that's really good.
Quite a few offer like half days or just a highlights film as well, where they might not be there for the whole day, but they'll just, it's like a cut down version. So there's always those options. If you are going full
DIY.
There's a company called Shoot It Yourself, which offer that service, where it's a service that you pay for, but what they do is deliver video cameras to you and they get your guests. You can have one, two or three or as many as you want, I think. And
wasn't that on Dragon's Den?
Yes, it was.
Years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
We had a couple this year where we were just shooting the photos and they had Shoot It Yourself, which is the company. Wow. Like the groom's party in the morning had a camera and the bridal party had a camera. What they do, they just send the cameras back and then they download the footage and then the Shoot It Yourself team like edit a film for you. So that's a kind of
a really middle ground.
Yeah, it's like a DIY, but you pay for the service kind of thing.
So you just set up a few cameras wherever you think, and then
but you are responsible. The footage is only as good as the people that you give the cameras to. So who are not are predominantly not professional videographers.
Just be people with no heads.
Or just one group of mates that are just filming themselves all day.
But what about if you have no pee?
Yeah,
zero pence.
Yeah.
Well, I would say get somebody, maybe a friend or family member who's got a decent camera.
What about phones? Because everyone's going to be thinking.
Yeah. Absolutely. A phone would do absolutely well. Put it on a tripod.
Yes, that's the key thing.
Make sure it's charged. Extra charge.
Yeah. Plug it in. Just plug it in. Yeah.
Have a portable charger thingy.
Yeah, make sure you've got enough memory as well, because obviously you've only got internal memory on a phone.
Oh my God. Yeah, my memory doesn't die, but just have no memory all the time.
Because you have too many photos. Yeah. So.
But absolutely, an iPhone would do the job. If you were super on a
budget. Find someone who's got a massive memory on their phone.
Yeah, like a big memory on their phone.
Get a tripod.
Put it on a tripod, put it on a little stand.
Yeah.
You know, get someone to just keep an eye on it, make sure it hasn't moved and it's in focus and all that kind of stuff, and just let it run. Yeah. But I would say, at least at the bare minimum, record your ceremony and record all of your speeches. I mean, I actually had this instance. We got married in 2009. Didn't book a videographer. There weren't really the kind of style of videographers out there that are out there now. That kind of style of contemporary filmmaking wasn't really around when we got married. So the photography was really, really good and it had come on leaps and bounds, but the videography hadn't quite caught up. It took a couple of years. So we didn't have a videographer, but I did get a friend who had a video camera to set up a tripod for the ceremony, which he did, and set it up perfectly, got all the ceremony captured. Great. And then I also said, right, well, make sure you just speeches, just stick it on there. Yeah, no problem. And I left him to it. Obviously, I was on the top table. I was getting nervous, ready for my speech. Father of Bride stood up. I did my speech. Best man did his speech. All brilliant. Everything went well. I just went over at the end. I said, oh, was that okay? Was everything good? And he said, oh, I went to put it on the tripod and the memory card said full. So I didn't get any of it.
And you know, it's funny you say
nothing
that.
Nothing you can do about it then, is there?
I say I don't have any footage of my day. Actually, a really good family friend made a video of the speeches, but he was right at the back of the room. And I've actually mislaid my copy. And since writing the notes for this episode, I've actually got in touch with him to say, do you still have it? Because actually, that's literally the only thing that I have. But I know it was so far away. And I'm pretty sure you couldn't even hear anything. But I just think, even if I could just have a blurry,
indeed,
you know, mainly silence video.
Yeah, at least it gives you that atmosphere, does it? Takes you straight back there, regardless of the quality.
It's still something,
isn't
it?
Yeah. So I would make sure that whoever's doing it, make sure they've got a decent memory card, enough battery, and they're just setting it up, and they're responsible for making sure that
it's just on.
It captures with the speeches. Make sure you're as close as possible to a speaker, because people in varying on the venues, they've got microphones, or they've got big halls which are really echoey, and if you're right at the back, You're not going to hear anything.
Yeah, and I think that was, I mean, and I'm talking 8 years ago as well, so the phones weren't as good as they are now and stuff. But yeah, if you can get close and...
But obviously, you book a professional, then they'll probably mic the speakers up and, you know, I mic them up on their suits.
So like a lapel mic.
Yeah, so regardless
thing.
Of whether the venue mic is good or bad or it cuts out halfway through, I've still got crystal clear audio.
Straight
to straight from their voice to the microphone.
Oh, so you're just not going to miss a single thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why you book a professional.
Indeed.
One of our readers has said... that they are nervous about how they will look on film.
Right. Well, that's...
to be expected, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, regardless of whether it's photography or videography, I suppose that question comes up a lot with us. They're like, the biggest statement I get from anybody that we're speaking to is, I hate having my photograph taken.
Mm-hmm.
I hate myself on video. I hate my voice, blah, blah, blah. Everybody is self-conscious about the way they look or the way they sound or...
yeah, something.
I prefer film. With photography, it's exactly that. It's a still.
Yeah.
Like how you
are slightly wrong.
So you get to be more critical of a still.
You do. Yeah. And how you are on film is more like it's animated, is how you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I totally get it. Like, you know, there's a lot, believe me, like we do the behind the scenes. And my biggest problem with like doing stories behind the scenes of podcasts is I don't care if I look an absolute wally or have a double chin. I just don't want to look miserable. Sometimes I'm like, no, Becky, don't. I look like a right miserable what's it on that. So I think, I suppose the important thing is taking over what Simon's supposed to be telling you now, is that if you enjoy your day, you will naturally come across.
Yeah. Totally.
As you do, which is enjoying your day.
Yes.
And I think it's part of a videographer's or photographer's job is to make you feel comfortable
around
them as well. And that's
and you notice
part of our
so
job.
Much less on the day because you're so involved in what you're doing and enjoying yourself and having a great time.
Yeah.
You won't even notice that the video is being taken. You don't need to be any more worried about how you'll look on film than you are about how you'll look in the day in general. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It shouldn't
Absolutely.
Feel like an extra pressure because, well... you won't even notice that they're there.
Yeah, some people say, you know, we've had people come back and say, I didn't even know you were there doing that and filming that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening and thanks so much for capturing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So people just forget that you're there. So those nerves are, I think it's people overthinking what the scenario is going to be like.
Yeah.
But a professional videographer who's good at their job will put you at ease from the morning. I walk in, I haven't got a camera in my hand. I walk in, I say hello to everybody. I make sure everybody's okay, see how their morning's gone and introduce myself and make sure people are kind of relatively comfortable. And I can, you know, you can gauge a room pretty quickly. You know how nervous people are. And then you just start taking that into account.
Yeah, such a good point as well. Like, it's so good that you don't rock in with a massive camera on your shoulder like, hey!
Yeah, like filming at the doorstep.
Hiya! Here's my camera.
I think it's really important, you know, be comfortable in your surroundings because you are there and people are nervous.
Yeah.
You know, it's the morning, people are nervous and excited and they don't know what's going on and people aren't quite themselves in the morning because there's all that nervous energy flying around. So I think, you know, you need to adapt to that scenario quite quickly and everybody that I've ever worked with certainly are really good at that and really good at their jobs. So, yeah. Cool.
Along those lines, someone has asked, should I make a conscious effort to look at the camera?
That's an odd question. No. I think that's quite a simple answer, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no need.
No.
And they're not presenting?
No.
I don't know.
Perhaps because we're in the age of the Instagram story when people talk to the camera. So I can see how it might be interpreted that.
Yeah.
So it says, unless you're doing a particular speech on camera that you want people to
I know sometimes people do like to put a message to their other half or something, don't they?
Which is
but unless you really want to do that, then
but in general if you did that it would just be a movie sort of about you, which I mean it's fine, but that's not what we're talking about.
So I mean, unless you're on a couple shoot and specifically a videographer says, oh, can you just look at the camera and look into the lens, or you know, whatever, I would just look at, you know, most of the time, 90% of the time when we're putting people in the right light and the right scenario, we often get people to look at each other because that's when they're most happiest.
Couples have just
got married, they look at each other, they tend to smile because they've just got married.
And I think the last question that we've really got for you, which is the biggest question everybody ever wants to know, is how much does this stuff cost? So like, what do your packages start from? Is that sort of average? Is there even an average, or is everybody totally different? It's people trying to budget and think, I need to budget at least X, Y, Z. So if Charlotte and I got married and decided to book We Are The Clark to shoot our videography, what's our basic package? What are we looking at?
Well, we charge £2,300 for one videographer for a full day. for a full wedding, all day, 10 hours, which is...
And all those things at the end of it, like you've
talked
about.
And the delivery of, preview film, feature film, and then the full ceremony and speeches.
Yes.
And that gets delivered as well digitally, because I know you asked earlier, didn't you, asked the question about how it gets delivered. The first year was last year when we started fully delivering digitally.
Okay.
So people get an online gallery, which is private and only for them to view, and they can send that out to the guests of their choosing, which they get to view all of their films. So they get the preview and the film and the ceremony speeches all on that gallery. So just literally you go onto either on your phone or on your desktop or whatever, and you just press play and you can watch all of those, and then they get a download link to download the MP4 versions of those films, which they can then store on their tablets or phones or computers or hard drives or whatever they so choose, or burn them to a DVD if they so choose. Because I think gone are the days where people are often using DVDs now. I still offer them. I still do a couple every now and then.
Oh, okay. So you can still,
it's just an additional extra. If people want a DVD, if they want to go around and show their nan that's still got a DVD player, most people haven't now.
Yeah.
Most people are streaming films digitally and et cetera, et cetera, with Netflix.
I don't even have a CD thing on my computer.
Yeah,
anymore.
No.
No. Me neither. I've got to have a separate drive.
We went to put
something on. I was like,
plug in. Yeah.
I don't know how to do this.
But we do offer USBs as well. So if people necessarily haven't even got desktops anymore, because people haven't got laptops or desktops, so they might not have hard drives to store files.
Right.
We offer USBs so people can at least keep a copy of those video files. And then, most TVs now have USB ports in the back where you can stick a USB in the back of a TV and watch video files from USBs, which is, I would always recommend everybody watch their wedding films on proper TVs and not
because that's what you've done it for. I mean, the quality is so crisp, isn't it? Watch it on the biggest possible screen.
Absolutely,
Hire out a cinema.
Please.
People do that, don't they?
I'd love someone to hire out a cinema and watch one of my wedding films. I'd just like to sit in the back. I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
I just want to sit in the back and see people's reactions.
Yeah.
I've only ever had that once where someone got married abroad in Ibiza and I went over and shot the wedding, and then they had like a UK wedding reception a few weeks later,
and they put the video up,
so they asked me if I could edit it for the wedding reception.
Such a good idea.
Sat everyone down, there was like 60 people, and they watched my film, and I was at the back.
That's
amazing. It was amazing to watch, because everyone was oohing and aahing and crying at the right points and laughing at the right points. It was amazing.
So on the note of price, obviously you're very experienced and you charge accordingly.
Yes.
But what do they start at? What does videography start? I mean, no, it's like a question like, well, people can charge what they want based on their experience. And obviously, if you're new, everybody has to start somewhere, don't they?
Yeah.
And they have to charge accordingly based on their experience and everything else.
I think the ballpark from the people that, you look and you see and the people on your list and all that kind of stuff, I think the ballpark is around about 1,500 quid to like 2,500, maybe 3,000.
Yeah, it's like the lower end of
So you're talking like 1,500 quid is kind of the slightly lower
the newer
end. Yeah.
Starters.
And then like 3,000 is your top end, I would say. I mean, but that's only a ballpark. I mean, it all depends on your day as well.
Obviously, you can find people that do it for a lot less.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's it, isn't it?
But it's, like we said before, you've got to look at their portfolio. You've got to understand what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And what your priorities are.
I think if you were asking somebody to budget for it and they were looking for the full service, full day's coverage of one videographer and maybe two, I'd look at maybe putting $2,000 aside. That that thing,
and
it might,
and give or take a couple of hundred quid either way, on who you decide to brilliant. Well, thank you so much. It's really nice to get you talking on here for a change. Maybe we should get
you're not going to stop him now, he's going to chip
that's
in
it.
When we do a podcast in the future.
Yep, I mean,
we're going to take that microphone away from you. But yes, we really hope that's been helpful, and thank you so much for listening. And there'll be a couple of links in the show notes, as ever, to a post with all the questions that we think you should ask your videographer when you go for your consultation, and a couple of other links as well to video related things.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us, Simon.
You're welcome.
It's been great. And we will see you again in 2 weeks.
See you soon.
Bye. This podcast was brought to you by Becky and Charlotte from Rock My Wedding, the UK's most influential wedding brand. For more content, visit rockmywedding.co.uk, follow us on Instagram at rockmywedding, or buy the book Your Day Your Way from Amazon or any leading book retailer. This podcast is produced by We Are The Clarks.